Hello and welcome to Team White. We're again with Allison Chablow and we're doing a tricontinental report, as we style it. I'm Alex Linder and I am in Missouri in North America. Allison Chablow is in the UK for Europe and Jan is in Africa and specifically in South Africa. And this will be more or less a report of last Team White, and we will talk about, begin by talking about the election fraud in the USA, which is pretty much the only subject there. Then we'll talk about the Michelle Renouf trial or avoidance of a trial in the UK and maybe a couple of other items related to cases there, including Allison's own. And finally, we'll talk a little about Jan's legal involvement with the Jews in South Africa to wrap it up. So, welcome, everybody, first of all.
Hi, Alex.
And I will begin. Hello, Jan. Everyone. Hello, Allison.
Hello, everyone.
Now I'd like to introduce myself talking about election fraud. Now, this is the first topic. You can chime in with any questions you have, and I'll try them. I follow it from a distance because when things are obvious, then to me they're less interesting. But what has happened is, and I believe this is my belief, I can't prove anything, but I believe Trump won the election if the votes were counted squarely and the Democrats stole it. And now as we move a couple weeks past the election, the media have declared that Biden is the winner, although they declare such a thing, and the media are proceeding with the usual hardened lying. I'm just going to read a few headlines that are immediately right now, and then I'll read one Trump tweet. This sums up where we are right at the moment, afternoon on, November the 12th. Election 2020 live updates. Biden forges ahead with transition. Fade say he has no end game. That's the Washington Post, one of the big lying media outlets in the country. Trump's stunning abdication of leadership comes as pandemic worsens and they play games with the COVID stuff. Trump meets with top election advisors as Biden's lead endures. It's come to this, Trump versus American democracy. So I guess the first point to make is that democracy is just, as Ezra Pound said, it's Jewish money. It's the will of the people, but actually it's Jewish money. Whatever Jews say is democracy. If you don't do what Jews want, you're anti-democratic. So democracy is a code word. That's what a code word means. It means doing what Jews want, pushing their agenda. They have control. But the actual will of the people is expressed in the vote and in the turnout at the rallies that preceded the election. Biden, who is an old, apparently demented or at the very least seriously declining mentally, intellectually man, could hardly draw anybody. There's, empty parking lots where he's trying to speak or Obama's trying to speak for him, whereas Trump was drawing absolutely huge crowds. And the polls up to the last minute were showing Trump down 9 or 10 points, but then obviously it was very close. But then was it even close? Did Trump win by more? Did he win by enough to call it a Trump slide, as many were predicting for years? I don't know. I tend to think he won a fairly average sort of election, but it is quite clear that Trump was ahead late in the night. They stopped the counting ostensibly, and when they reappeared, they resurfaced in these key states hours later. Well, all of a sudden, Trump is now behind and Biden has enough to close it off. So then the last 10 days they've been digging into, well, what is the software that controls this? What about the basis of the false was mostly falsified mail-in ballots that were occasioned in numbers vastly exceeding the normal because of the COVID. Now you could say that they produced the COVID hype in order to set that up. I don't know about that. That's going a little far, but certainly they, as Rahm Emanuel, the dual citizen running Chicago into the ground, Illinois into the ground, said, never let a crisis go to waste. So whether or not the COVID thing was real, and I tend to believe it's more fake because the numbers on cold and flu just disappeared and were thrown into the COVID file when it comes from what, still, they used that to encourage non-presentational voting. So you vote through the mail, and this gave them an easy way to falsify you. So you'll find, oh, well, we found 138,000 ballots that are all for Biden. Or they found that one of the arguments is he didn't show up down tick. The Republicans did much better than there might be a blue wave, or they were lying that they hoped there would be. They tried to talk into reality that there would be a Democrat wave, but it didn't show up. And so the Republicans kept more than expected in the House and the Senate. So the point of that is people were simply, these votes didn't show up down the ticket. Well, they're just people filling in these ballots dishonestly for Biden, and that's how he won. And then they also have very curious Democratic links to some of the software, most notably Dominion, but there's a couple other pieces of software as well related to the process of counting votes, not just software that counts votes, but there's other related software where the votes are transferred and transfer point, again, choke points where they can come in and simply tweak it. So I think with what I believe, not being a scientist or even particularly interested, it's clear to anyone who doesn't have an axe to grind, and I'm not a big Trump supporter by any means, that they are trying to steal it right now. The media is 100% backing Biden. It was stolen with direct mail-in ballots, falsified in very large numbers. I'm going to raise a specific point that just came out within the hour. And in my opinion, with the backup of this tweaking software that is used in up to 30 states and basically all of the swing states, Dominion software that has ties to Pelosi and Democratic leadership and the Clinton Foundation. And this is the technical way they were able to go about stealing it. Now, Trump tweeted within the last, I don't know, I saw it on Pyville.net, our social medium, the federated instances. Pyville is one of them. Donald Trump tweeted, report, Dominion, again, that's the software, deleted 2.7 million Trump votes nationwide. This is the president saying this, quoting a report that Dominion deleted 2.7 million Trump votes. Data analysis finds 221,000 Pennsylvania votes. This is one of the main swing states, the main contested, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Georgia, and I think Arizona. 221,000 Pennsylvania votes switched from Trump to Biden. 941,000, I mean, almost a million Trump votes deleted. States using Dominion voting system switched 435,000 votes from Trump to Biden. And I guess, which I'm not sure, but it's some alt news source. And again, the thing here is the media is the mainstream media. There was only one channel that was slightly different. It was still liberal on the stuff that mattered, i.e. pro-Jew and anti-racialist, and that would be Fox. And even on Fox, there's only one person who's sort of conservative, and even he is just a hinter and the typical, ballless hinter type that conservatives are, Tucker Carlson. And apart from him, it's 100% behind Biden. And you're dirty, you're sore losers. You don't want to admit what happened. No, this is just, these people are absolutely hardened in their theft and their dishonesty, and they're just complete untrustworthiness. And this is the state the U.S. has fallen to. I mean, it's simply a Jewish dictatorship, and the people are increasingly non-white, and you get with the non-whites their standards, which are just continual cheating, lying, and I have to admit, more than I thought, the violent riots that were going on that we talked about, I think, last time out in Portland, they went on for 2 or 3 days after the election. But since, we've had about a week of fairly quiet. So those things are there, but they backburnered, even to an extent, the COVID, although that's not quite so much. It's still kind of here or there, depending on how they think they can get more benefit out of it. But the riots, the Antifa and Black Lives Matter riots, have definitely been put on the back burner now that they think they've got Biden elected, even though those communists don't really like Biden all that much either. And I do expect there will be more violence and rioting. But anyway, the news from the U.S. is the left, under the Jews, with the media controlled, is what they think in the final stages of stealing an election from the sitting president, Donald Trump. I believe that is objectively true. And yeah, they're actively censoring whispering to. He tried. I mean, just imagine he's on Twitter, which is what most people use. They will. I didn't read the last line of that Trump tweet. Read this claim about election fraud. Even the president of the United States cannot speak directly to the people through the major social media. You see, that's how it is.
That's it.
I'm sorry, Allison. Go ahead.
That's it.
No worries. Yeah, I mean, I'm amazed at the short memories of American voters. You know, just a week before the election, there was this laptop from hell and pretty concrete evidence, one would say, of, you know, Biden putting money in his back pocket from the Ukraine. There's all this these allegations of sexual perversions, including pedophilia. And all that's suddenly forgotten, and there he is, you know.
You have to understand that. That's not the American people, though. That's the media. The media absolutely stifled that. And the irony is, after 4 years of going after Trump and this absolutely bogus Russian hoax, they flip over and say where there's real evidence of wrongdoing, absolute open and shut evidence that this guy was selling influence and access. They absolutely stifled it. Just said, oh, that's not verified. And as one, refused to talk about it. It's not the people. The people have nothing to do with it. The people have no control. They're absolutely disorganized, random, atomized individuals. What they've done is try to show up at some of the state houses. And this is partly related to COVID and partly related to Trump. And why are you destroying all of our businesses? Why are you destroying our country? That's the most the MAGA types have tried to do, but essentially they're headless because they're deplatformed from having any way of communicating with each other. And honestly, I would say Trump's to blame because he sits there and all he ever says, oh, I'm monitoring this. Well, they screwed you. Degree by degree over 4 years, they did exactly what they've done to us white nationalists since 2000. Deplatform you. The minute you get an audience, they cut you off and they force you to spend all your time dealing with technical or legal stuff rather than addressing your audience. And what's new is they've been doing that to conservatives the last 4 years, degree by degree. They shut it down until now. Even the president of the United States is censored from talking to the people.
So, Alex,
they want an absolute one-party state with a one-party media. It's not the people who agree with them. I mean, the people who agree with them are basically employed by them. They're all the public school teachers. That's the Antifa, and that's the basis of the Democrats, is people who are employed by the government are receiving their money from the government.
Health workers, teachers,
Yeah, I mean, we don't have an NHS yet, but if we get Biden in there, we're likely to have some kind of a completely socialized medicine. Now it's just that, well, I won't go off on that because that's a hobby horse of mine. But yeah, they're basically bureaucrats who work for the system and are the only ones who really support it among whites. But on the other hand, I've seen analysis that Trump did worse among white men than the first time, and that's partly because he sucked up so hard to blacks and coloreds and others with his platinum plan for blacks. He's going to give them $500 billion. His letting convicted black felons out of jail so they can vote. So I mean, even though he's having, I'm trying to be straight with you. I'm not a Trump fan. I don't like Trump. Of course, I hate Biden. They're both terrible, I think. But Biden is a lot worse. Well, Trump's not any good either, really. But, you know, letting black criminals out of jail and then they're allowed to vote, at least a couple of Republican governors have folded on that and restored the voting rights to black felons. So, you know, I mean, he's bringing it on himself. He never did anything but monitor these social media who are being completely unfair to everyone. And it's their platform. They can decide. Yeah, but then they all collude to deny anyone else a platform. I mean, you're talking about basically the majority of the country. Normal people are basically conservative. They're not these crazy, whacked out, you know, hair discolored type wackos. And these people don't have any kind of platform. That's what always is. A billionaire out there who will allow criticism of Jews and who could buy a bank and set up a complete ISP called Normal and let people compete. No, they cannot allow anyone else any other platform. So it's not a competition. It's not a market of ideas. It's just people that it functions effectively like a cult, right? And they're going to crush any opposition out of existence because they will lose if there's an honest argument, like I've said a billion times.
Yeah, we could say that Trump, you know, he is the lesser of two evils, but still, you know, there's this dystopia. It's a vote for dystopia every way. That I saw a great meme the other day, and it was two warplanes with bombs coming out of them, Republicans and Democrats. And the only difference with the Democrats one is that it had Black Lives Matter and, you know, Say Yes or the woman feminist stickers on the plane. You know, so dystopia, yeah. Whichever way. Trump is, you know, is compromised. Of course he is. They all are. That the thing that amused me this week, of course, was that the fact that, he unfollowed Netanyahu on Trump. I mean, has Netanyahu ever been censored by Twitter? Has he ever had any of his tweets censored? Perhaps not.
I doubt it. Trump, to an extent, it's hard to feel sorry for him because he is fighting the whole media, but he has not been his own friend in terms of he hasn't helped his own supporters at all.
No.
I mean, he let the media attack them and drive them out of business, and he doesn't ever defend them. So, you know, what are you going to do? But
yeah, and Richard,
we've reached a pretty sad point here in the U.S. I can tell you that much.
Well, I remember, you know, the same kind of things happening in previous U.S. elections, of course, with the 2020 Al Gore fiasco, and then the result, one being announced and then it being changed. But this is, I mean, it really is the sign of the time.
Well, I honestly believe that they didn't believe in a million years that Hillary Clinton would lose that election, or they would have done the same thing. But now they're so irate and incensed over Trump being elected. It's not even that his agenda is different from theirs, because it really isn't that different. It's just they hate him partly because he symbolizes everything they hate, which is a certain type, even though he doesn't really act that way. But they absolutely got to, I mean, this is together and determined. We cannot, they said Trump won because of his followers using the main social media platforms. We cannot allow that to happen again in 2020. How are we going to prevent that from happening? They got together and decided to do all the stuff they've done in the last 4 years. Then they brought in the ADL, which has its, you know, originally they had fact checkers, but then they brought in all these to Twitter and the rest of these. Oh, we've got the ADL to help us determine what is hate and keep it off our platform. So they've gone that route. And now basically the internet is becoming like another TV, as much as they can make it, where there's one point of view broadcast, and anything else, they're going to drive it offline.
Exactly. And then YouTube, you couple that YouTube in the, being the yeah, prime you, example and the, you know, the you, lists, the
yes, I mean,
featured well, videos.
YouTube. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I mean, everyone I listen to has been driven off of YouTube. I mean, there were a bunch of ones you listen to them, and 6 months later, boom, they're gone. And, you know, it's not even worth it. And now they're going after BitChute in the UK and knocking that down. The Jews are, as a team, attacking BitChute because it said it was going to be a free heat. It's become a haven for – so they have all these demonization words for anyone who criticizes them. And, you know, they brainwash the public that anyone opposed to Jews is a hater, is an extremist, and all the rest of it. And then they use that as a – pretext for driving them offline. So you can't compete with them. There is no marketplace of ideas. If there was, they would lose, and they know all that, and that's just how they do it. And you know, most people are thinking if Biden gets in there, he's gonna do all kinds of terrible things. He will basically bring in swarms more of illegal aliens and non-Americans until they finally swamp the majority to where it can't even fight back as much as it has to elect a Trump. That's pretty much what everyone thinks. But I don't know. Trump can try to fight it out in courts, but he's going to be using the courts that belong to the same system. You know, 99% opposes him. So I don't expect he'll be able to achieve something, but I'd be happy to be wrong about that, and I would admit it. But I don't know. I do believe he won the election.
Alex, do you think that Trump will not be able to actually prove that he was cheated, and that Biden will really become the president?
Oh, he already has proved he was cheated, in my view. But you know, if you got to do it state by, I don't know the techniques of how it works. I don't know if you have to go into federal court or state court. But it seems like things are. Basically, we have the 10th Amendment that basically leaves everything that's not as specifically mentioned, articulated, enumerated power, it leaves everything else that isn't specifically mentioned to the states. But in practice, the 10th Amendment of the Constitution is completely ignored, except when decentralization and states' rights help the left. Then suddenly it's revived. Wants to allow illegal aliens to camp out in its city. Why, then there's no problem. But if you're right wing and you try to do something the feds don't like, well, it's civil rights and federal law. So they talk forth all the time with their double standard. And so in this case, decentralization probably serves them. So he probably has to make the case in 5 or 6 different courts. And I'm sure he'll be able to prove that he was cheated, but I tend to think as a practical matter, I doubt it will matter. The media will report it the other way. And I just don't see it. It's just funny that, like in my state, which is Missouri or the show me state, you have to show ID to buy cold medicine, and it's been that way for a long time. But yet when it comes to a vote for the president, you don't have to show any ID. Wow. At least in a lot of these places. I don't think you do in Missouri, but in many of these states, they've made it so that basically you don't have to, maybe you have to show an ID. You don't have to show a photo ID. You just any old thing will do or nothing. And it, you know, their BS slogan, no person is illegal. Well, that carried over into voting is what we have now. And that's how it's easy to falsify it. My point is, if the government backs up a student loan, it effectively controls the ideology, dictates it to that institution. So you can't be a racialist. If you set up a private college and wanted to teach racial truth or Jew critical truth, it wouldn't be, you wouldn't, you might be, but you wouldn't be able to teach students who had federally backed student loans. So $1 in a loan that's backed by the feds, and they control what you teach effectively. Yet, why can't they force a federal law that says you have to show a voter ID and prove that you're a U.S. citizen to vote? And, but they don't have anything like that. It just goes state by state. And obviously they're letting, like even me, I think I didn't really look at it before I threw it out. I'm pretty sure I got a mail-in ballot, but I never requested one. So why did I get one?
Right.
And I mean, there's just nothing. This is the decline. You really realize how, basically, in my opinion, only, I don't even know if I'd say all European people, but Northwestern Germanic type people, which would be Germans, English, et cetera, Northwestern Europe, the people in the U.S. are pretty much the only ones on earth where maybe the Asians are different. I don't know much about Asia, but maybe some of the Asians also qualify, like Japan, I would think might qualify, but we're the only ones who are even capable of doing something that's more or less honest. When we have the power to do otherwise without being damaged by it. I really believe that. And so now that the U.S. is essentially, it's admitted that it's like out of 300 plus million people, it's basically 1/3 colored or alien. We've reached where just banana republic rules are increasingly common. And I saw within the last week, one other little news thing, that formerly more right-wing Democrat, I think he was, or maybe he was even a Republican, but Ralph Northam, who's the governor of Virginia, voted in by the left. He kind of recanted and then fled over to the left, is proposing that, like, it not be legal to stop blacks for any ordinary traffic infraction.
Wow.
Like, you know, blacks always driving around hoopties, and they always got broken lights and expired plates. Well, now you can't stop them because they're stopped disproportionately compared to whites. So upholding that minor standard is racism. We got to do away with it. And apparently he's proposing that as a law in Virginia.
That's
so
insane.
Either we got to have peaceful secession to get away from this, because these people will not, they can't be, I really think AOC is the perfect example, but this person is not smart enough to understand what's going on. I mean, there are people who understand what's going on and are crooked deliberately and are criminals or intellectual criminals. Then there's people who just, they don't have the inherent mental wherewithal to grasp. It's one thing to deviate from a standard knowingly. It's another thing not even to be able to grasp the standard. And that's what, unfortunately, 90%. And so if you have a nation with them, they ain't pulled up to your standard, as the Anglos mistakenly, the Christians mistakenly tried to do for hundreds of years. The Catholics try to do and claim it takes 1,000 years. We don't drag them up. They drag us down. And that's why, to preserve ourselves, if we want a higher common denominator in our everyday life, we have to form an all white nation.
I couldn't agree more. I mean, is Biden the one we should be afraid of? I mean, it's the Harris. You know, was she half Jamaican, half Indian? Is she married to a Jew?
She, she She pretends to be black, but apparently she's actually basically mostly Indian, I guess. And when you say Jamaican, people automatically think, hey, Iman, and all that black. But Jamaica is loaded with, like, Trinidad and Tobago are loaded with Indians. Yeah. And maybe Pakistanis, but definitely Indians, where a lot of them were brought there. So she is basically – maybe she is a little black, but she is basically not black. She's Indian masquerading as black. She's had a – she got to the top by being the mistress of powerful men and sucking up to them, literally and figuratively. She's not in her dotage the way – she's not anile the way Biden is obviously becoming senile. But to me, I don't know. I look at it – and she's, I guess, more of a hardcore – she's just your ordinary criminal Irish Democratic politician that you find 9 times out of 10 in front of Jew money. I mean, that's pretty much the story of the U.S. No, they are. I mean, I say that the Irish and the German are the basic population of the U.S. The Germans, like my people, they were people who did not go – now, some of mine were an exception, but the Germans, by and large – were people who stayed away from politics. Thomas Sowell writes about this. They're like the Chinese. They stay away from politics. They say that's – my grandmother literally said to me, that's not for us. So the Germans are out there farming. They're pretty mild. They're pretty docile people. Again, I'm not all German. I'm a lot English, actually. So it's a little different. But the Irish were big city people. They're very into politics. And because of, you know, historical things, you know, the English attacking them and whatever, they're clannish. They're Roman Catholic. They're a different religion than a lot of the people in the U.S. They created all these corrupt inner cities in the 19th century. I'm not saying most of them were good people, but there's a lot more of that type stuff. So that's where people like Biden come from, these big cities in the East. And they got – a lot of them got a criminal democratic feather bedding sort of background. So he's just that ordinary type, but she's apparently is really a hardcore leftist. And frankly, she doesn't really hide how hate-filled she is against white people. And that's the thinking. Yeah. As Allison was saying, absolutely. That will she really be running it? Or will he, now people exaggerate that stuff. But Biden's not as demented as they say, and he's not as far gone as they say, and she won't be president in 2 years like they say. But it doesn't matter because they're both still pushing the same Jewish agenda that's anti-white.
Yeah, I saw a video of her 2017 speech to AIPAC, and the comment was from Gilad Atzmon that it was the best speech. She's ready to be the next prime minister of Israel, more pro-Israel than Einstein, Dershowitz, or Bibi.
Well, and let me tell you, to be the most pro-Israel in U.S. politics is about the stiffest competition you could possibly imagine.
Yeah, I
guarantee you that. My God. I would hate to try to win that.
Yeah.
But seriously, you've seen all the pictures of them wearing that stupid cap and touching the wall, but the Wailing Wall.
Yeah, planting trees.
These people. These people are obscene, and Biden, I mean, yeah, you're absolutely right to bring back up that the guy's an absolute crook. They prove top stuff. But, you know,
he and Hillary said to Obama, if you don't go along with this, then your career is ended. Oh, gosh, I wonder what that could have been about.
Yeah, well, you know, they and the Clinton Foundation is all over that and stealing the money. That's what these people do. Biden's like the Clintons, except they're smarter and tougher, I think, than he is. And they're you know, they may have poor roots, or she has rich roots. Hillary Clinton, Bill had, but his father was pretty slick and a huge energy, high IQ. They got a Yale and Georgetown background. And they knew absolutely what they're doing. They're hardcore people. Biden's a more of a grinnier, stupider criminal, but still, you know, basically a criminal clan. And apparently his wife is really the main operator there behind Biden. I don't know too much more about her. I think her name is Jill, but yeah, he's just this typical Democrat crook. And he's even said, so is Hillary Clinton for that matter, said stuff in the past. She said stuff about super predators, black criminals, and he said racial stuff about crime, but that's now decades ago. They said sensible, true stuff about it, but Trump tried to use that against him, and Trump did succeed in getting a higher percentage of, I think, the black and particularly the Latino vote than, like, pretty much any Republican, at least back to one of the Bushes. But, you know, that's what the Republican Party is. It isn't even real. They're stealing the election from someone who's not even really opposition to what they're trying to do, as proved by his first term. And I got to list all these idiots. Oh, Trump's going to do this. If Trump, he had 4 years. He didn't do any of it. He didn't build a wall. And I mean, I literally have people arguing that he built a wall. I mean, did you see the thing that he actually built over a few dozen miles? It's absurd. It's not even as a fifth grader. It looks like a comb or something just stood on end. And oh yeah, he built the wall. No, he didn't. He basically didn't do anything. So yeah, if Biden gets in there, I would think he would. I think Trump both. I think Trump will be able to prove the election was stolen. And I think it won't matter.
Yeah, you're probably right.
So some kind of court or commission will just go, there were irregularities and, you know, and they were even pretty bad. But, you know, so what? That's what I think is going to happen, if I had to guess.
So you think that regardless of what Trump proves, that Biden will be the actual president?
If I had to bet money on it, that is what I would bet. I hope I'm wrong.
I hope so, too. Hope so too. But I've got to admit, Alex, when I look at some of the feedback, so far, it hasn't been looking too hopeful. But I did see watch an interesting little video where a woman who's working for Trump, she was talking about 450,000 votes being stolen by the computers. And I was fascinated by your numbers where you say millions of votes have been proven to be deleted.
That's Trump. Yeah, Trump. Dominion deleted 2.7 million nationwide. He's quoting a report, I guess, from Chanel Rion, who I'm not familiar with. Rion Chanel, whoever that is, at OANN. I think I've seen OANN, but I can't remember what it stands for. But it's some. See, that's how far down he's got to go. He can't. Through any of the main media in the U.S. is CBS, ABC, NBC, CNN, Fox for TV, and then the New York Times and the Washington Post are the two main papers. And all of those are on the same side. I mean, Fox demurs in about 10%. Fox is the only semi-alternative. And even that, Fox is now owned by the son of Murdoch, I guess, since Murdoch kind of faded out of the picture. And the sons are much more liberal rather than neocon. So they're switching into that vein. Also, that's another aspect of Biden. Biden is going to bring back all the neocons who started all the wars.
Yeah, for sure.
A lot of people are saying that.
They're already.
So Obama and Trump downplayed that, but Biden's going to bring it back. So, and you know, the demonization of Russia, I guess he won't be demonizing China too hard, but they'll keep going at Russia. I'm sorry. I didn't, and anyway, that's this to the U.S. If you got any other questions, I'll answer it. But the riots,
Alex,
more or less died down. They're trying to complete the theft of the election. It's Trump against the media, and huge numbers of people are really, really pissed off. And like I've been saying, these need to be turned into an overtly martial force. I mean, I don't know what else to say, because see, I tried to work in that conservative, even in the right wing media, when I tried to get into it back at the end of the 80s, they wouldn't touch anything racial related. So I did get in, I got my foot in the door, but no, they won't touch anything racial, anything that's critical of blacks or Jews, they will not do. That's how it was. I can personally vouch for that, looking in the eyes of the editors and talking to them in person, as well as on the phone. They will not touch that from at least the end of the 80s till today. And my God, sad how old we are now, I guess, but speaking for myself only at least, but that's, you know, that's 40 years ago almost now. It is 40 years. It's 41 and a half or 42 years. 42 years ago, that's how it was. Well, it's 100 times worse now even. So, and they won't let us do anything online. So what's left to do?
Wow. Alex.
Johnny, get your gun, I guess.
Now, Alex, you say that large numbers of people are really pissed off. That's the important thing here. Common
well,
wise.
Yeah, they've been. It's part, like I said, it's partly related to COVID. Like it flared up probably the most in like Michigan, because the governor there, this female named Whitner, who is, I guess, particularly insane. They're destroying people's livelihoods. neighborhoods in a place that's, well, Michigan would be part of the Rust Belt where it's, the economics are none too great anyway. And so they had a bunch of people, you know, the patriot types, not racialists, go up to the capitalist her. Now, no one's been shooting anybody. There was a plot that was, you know, who knows to what extent the FBI organized it and conducted it, but there was a plot of some people. They called them right-wing racialists. They were actually just more left-wing types, anarchist types, who were going to kidnap Whitner or whatever. That was busted. But up there, there's been a fair amount of activity. But the thing is, when you're trying to fight through media coverage, the media won't give any honest coverage to anything, so it's very difficult to know what's actually going on anywhere. But there is widespread discontent. I mean, Trump had huge rallies. I mean, he had, I have scarcely ever seen as many people as he apparently had up in rural Pennsylvania or somewhere in Pennsylvania in the last weeks of the election. I mean, the last few days. So Biden couldn't draw anybody to his rallies, and Trump was drawing overwhelming rallies. So it really is the people against the media and the system, as I call it, with a capital S.
Because, Alex, if large numbers of people voted and large numbers of people are convinced from being at rallies, etc., that they were cheated, then I would think that that will help to fuel some new conspiracy theories, even though we know the conspiracies are real, and it will anger them and start taking them further down the line away from the system.
I think a couple of columns written, a woman, I don't know her name, but she wrote a real good one about how I will never vote again. And just, you know, we're so sick of being demonized by these people. All Joe Average White wants to do is get a little bit of land, raise his family, have a job that will pay the bills. And we got to be demonized by these. Well, first of all, we're hugely taxed, and we got to be demonized by these leftists that were evil for existing. And so, yeah, it can do nothing but further secessionist feelings among the rank and file of the white population. Stoke the anger of these people. That's all it can do.
Because anger for me is always a good thing. Anger will eventually lead to things. And if it adds to a new conspiracy, because I can't remember from our discussions beforehand, but I think we were definitely aware that there could be electoral fraud, but I doubt that we realized the scale that it would hit with. And for me, I mean, I watched the first few hours of the counting, and I watched up until they had counted 20 million votes. And at that point, I was looking at the numbers, and I was thinking, yeah, Trump's winning. It's looking like a landslide. And then I went to bed. And 7 hours later, when I came and I looked, I was like, what the fuck? It's all gone. How the fuck is this possible?
Yeah, I had exactly the same experience. Exactly the same.
Yeah. And Trump is saying that same thing. No, I don't have a TV and I didn't watch any of it at all. But what I've read from reports after the fact, yeah, he was leading like in the swing states late into the evening, and then they just down for a while, and they came back, and all of a sudden, yeah, that's when they did it. They just used all of their falsified ballots, or they tweaked it with their software, and oh no, actually, they've done that before. They did that. I don't remember what other election, but they have a way of always coming up with just as many votes as they need to for their guy to slightly win, which is, of course, is easy with software.
Absolutely.
But the new thing here, technically, it would have been the mail-in, which was never, that was always, you know, some, for soldiers overseas and a couple of maybe people who are invalidated or who are incapacitated or something, but that was never a big feature of any election. They made it a huge feature of this one, A, because they could, because of COVID, gave them a pretext, and it's an easy way to falsify ballots or to harvest them, as they say. But yeah, they're just sitting there, they're just making them all up with Biden and not even filling the stuff in down slate. So it, to me, it's conspiracy. I mean, it's basically just open. They're just saying, oh, hey, yeah, well, we're doing this. What are you going to do about it? That's always the Jew question. What are you going to do about it? Yeah, you're right, but what are you going to do about it? You know, and that's exactly what they're doing. They're a little 2% minority, but yeah, they march in the courtroom. There's 80 of them. Pressure the judge. Hey, how's your career going, you know? Mike, enjoying this career, this nice sinecure on this bench? Then you see 15 Jews sitting there who have a lot of money between them, a lot of organizational power. Until whites are organized, how are they going to fight back against that?
Well said.
Well, anything, anytime whites try to organize, whites are prevented from organizing. And this is a way to know you're dealing with a Fed or an idiot or a Republican. Well, it's not a failure of personality. It's not a failure. It's not like whites suddenly forget how to organize when it comes to politics. Whites know exactly how to organize. Organizing is not difficult. It is being prevented. Whites are being prevented from organizing. It doesn't matter if there's not a law saying whites can't organize. In fact, that's how it is. And at the proof is every time someone actually does something, oh, all of a sudden they come up against all these criminal charges and they're harassed in every possible way. And I've seen that for many, many years. That is the reality of it. Whites are prevented from organizing. It's become basically an all or nothing deal where you have to be willing to essentially kill, because if you're not willing to kill, why bother? Because you will be cheated out of what you're trying to do at some point. Even if all you're trying to do is, like Allison, sing a song on a boat, or me and you write something on a website on the internet.
Absolutely.
You know, that's what it is. That's where the situation is.
Alex, you couldn't.
So you know, we don't have time. As I saw someone write, I think it might have been Occidental Descent. You know, we already do have it. You know, I told here on a Team White report, my bank account was just canceled. No reason given. Went in, talked to the manager. I don't know. Let me see. Call him up. No reason. Oh, we just are doing it because we can. Well, that's a political thing. I wasn't with him 2 months. I was with him 15 plus years. There, we already have the social credit where if you say anything against Jews, you're, you know, negative 9 million in the hole. And you'll never climb out. So you're effectively denied your financial, your ability to make money and live a basic life is essentially assassinated by Jews. That's our social credit system as actually exists in the USA today in 2020. And it's the same in the UK, and it's the same in Western Europe.
Yeah, but not everybody who speaks out against Jews is punished in the same ways. It's maybe we could kind of link onto the Germany case with that, because
I've yapped enough about the USA. We've talked about the one story here. Now we're going to turn to Europe and story, and I think wasn't Renouf. We talked about Renouf last time. What's the update on that, if there is one, Allison?
Renouf was supposed to be on trial on October the 16th. I'm not sure whether our recording was prior to then or that case was thrown out. It was dismissed. There was no trial. But congratulations. Let's say congratulations to Michelle. She's she should go over to Germany, give a public speech in Dresden. And in the end, anybody else had said that, I'm sure that there would have been prosecution, but for some reason, there has not been a prosecution. There has not even been a trial. I would even go further and say that there was not even any arrest. It was a contrived situation.
Well, now,
but I would say good luck to her. And the fact that she is free and not wilting in behind bars. I look forward to the support of my fellow Englishwoman, my fellow countrymen at my upcoming trial for Holocaust Wrongthink in England next Tuesday, my old haunt, Westminster Magistrates Court, next Tuesday, 10 p.m. I will be again facing charges in England. So will the authorities, you know, bash me again, bash me, little me who's got nothing. Yet Mrs. Renouf gets away with it in Germany, a country where there are actual Holocaust denial laws. You know, I find it quite quite ironic in a way. But yes, good luck to her. Congratulations. And I look forward to the support from a fellow revisionist in the name of the revisionist cause. That would be in best interests.
Allison,
that would be in everybody's best interests.
What do you expect is going to happen at your event?
It was supposed to be in September last month, and the opposition, the prosecution, the Crown prosecution, they asked for an adjournment. In fact, I've made an application which will be dealt with in the morning in court, because we argue that the CPS is out of time. There's a 6-month window limit for prosecutions, and they are seemingly out of time. But the Crown is going to argue against that. They've hired special counsel to find an argument, but I've yet to see a skeleton argument. I mean, that's nothing new. It could be tomorrow or Monday that the skeleton argument is submitted. Now, it depends on the outcome of that application, which may be that's the hope at the moment, or it may not, in which case I will be sent to trial and will have to give a plea and all that in the afternoon, perhaps, if there is no further adjournment between the acceptance of this this of my application, because they're out of time, and any eventual trial. So yeah, it's I also, you know, another comment about the Michelle Renouf trial is that her lawyer is also the same lawyer who represents courageous German revisionists, Ursula Haverbeck, Marianne Wilfert, mm-hmm. The Schaefers as well. He was their advocate. He specialized in political dissidents. So I, you know, the question is, will he manage to do the same for his German clients that he managed to do for this English lady? That remains to be seen.
Alison?
Well, but, you know, there is no precedent. There's no precedent because there has to be a trial for a precedent to be set.
Why do you think that she got off where all of our other friends are jugged, as they say? Albert Schaefer and even Monica was jugged, and Haverbeck, we know the story. Why do you think Renouf is?
Yes, I think there's absolutely no doubt that Mrs. Renouf's longtime companion, British man called Peter Rushton, is a longtime trained state mole. He worked with Searchlight magazine and now works with Hope Not Hate. And this house in Germany is the direct line for the intelligence services, MI5, MI6, into the quote-unquote far-right neo-Nazi German movement. And I think that's the reason. I mean, there is no doubt this man is, you know, this man is an infiltrator. Perhaps over the years, because he's, you know, living a lie for all that time, and perhaps he has come to be persuaded of the argument, in conservative arguments, and come to be persuaded after being recruited at a young age. But yes, it's an interesting that's the reason why there is not one single mainstream media report on this so-called historic victory. There is not one single mainstream report. And articles over the last few days, I'm afraid it just seems like a rather, you know, desperate search in that publicity.
Alison, I was looking.
Listeners, mind, what is Searchlight? John, first, what is Searchlight again?
Searchlight magazine Searchlight magazine is a one of these Jewish pro-Zionist NGOs, the anti-fascist organization.
Publication.
It's communist. It's like a communist organization. It's just communist Jews. Anti-fascist. Jerry Gable was his name, and he had the editor now of his editor was Nick Lowles. They fell out in the noughties, and they wanted to stop the BNP. They wanted to stop Nick Griffin gaining political power, and that turned into Hope Not Hate. And that fascist organization in the UK, they have one of their directors was an MP. She lost her seat at the last election, but you know, ex-BICOM parachuted into a safe Labour Party seat. Big pro-Israel, big Zionists. So she was their way to the Home Office.
Yeah, what's their relation to the British Board of Jewish Deputies or whatever it is between them and Hope Not Hate?
Only that they are all part of this leftist system. And of course, when it comes to defeating the fascists, then they all stick together, don't they? Above and beyond their own individual groups' political aims, they all stick together. And so the Board of Deputies is the main group, as in with Jan, and then there are several other bodies. There's the Community Security Trust. They're the ones that organize the security for the Jews who are at danger. and give loads of public money so that, you know, they can have security at synagogues and schools, etc. They organize the Shomrim vigilante police forces that we pay for, but only the Jewish community benefits from. Wow. And there's hundreds of other little groups, but they're the main ones, the Board of Deputies and the Community Security Trust.
Okay.
So hope not hate are more of a leftist type thing rather than overtly pro-Israel, pro-Jew charity. They're not one of these Shoah scavenger type organizations, but they do, of course, also agree with that. They agree that I'm, you know, convicted racist and all this, even though I'm not. I was convicted for causing offense.
Mm-hmm.
A question I have.
Okay, so that's coming up next week, but go ahead, Jan. Yeah.
I was reading the article that Carolyn Jaeger put out about the story, and in there they were talking about a website and that there's this blog that's going to explain what exactly went on with this trial and why this trial was stopped. But the question that I have is, is this, and perhaps only time will be able to answer this, is this something that is specifically unique to Renouf, or is there some kind of change of attitude possibly among the Germans? Because that would be of interest if there is something. If it just turns out that she's the only exception, and everybody else still just gets nailed, then this becomes even more suspicious. But I'm just wondering whether there's any hope at all that there's something deeper that might come for other people.
Well, no, there could only be that hope if an actual trial had taken place, which it didn't. The lawyer, Naharath, he's on trial this week with Mrs. Wilfert. Had a suspended sentence, who's already been convicted earlier this year for speaking very clearly about these issues, about the lack of public, you know, open and honest debate on the issue of Germany's role in World War II, the camps, etc. She's explaining things very clearly and is very courageous, but she's up in court this week. So, you know, Sylvia Stoltz is still in prison. If there was any kind of change that was envisaged, then the lawyer is quite clear. He says, doesn't he? It's sensational. Doesn't really sound like legal speak to me, but the decision is sensational. And, you know, if, as I said before, if this guy's argumentation about the constitutional rights of, you know, freedom of speech was true, then, why isn't that being used effectively in his defense of his German clients? And I did tease, I don't really want to say too much as you say, but I think, Jan, that it is time that such a thing has occurred. I might be wrong, but any German, and we saw with Monica Schaefer, you know, she just arrived there and was they didn't, you know, allow her to even spend time at her relative's house with an electronic bracelet. She was incarcerated for 8 months on remand. So, yes, yeah. It just seemed that there's some kind of protection going on here. And as I said earlier, you know, the whole thing is contrived. There was no arrest. There was no trial. There was no judgment. Therefore, there is no precedent. And above all, there is not one single mainstream report, apart from the day that she was arrested in Dresden almost 3 years ago now. There has been not a single mainstream report. So where is this increasing worldwide media interest? If this were true, then there would be that. And there is precisely nothing. So we will see what critical minds make of this particular legal historic victory, and was the other.
Yeah, I just searched Google News and Renouf, and I don't see anything except other people named Renouf.
And another question, no, Alison.
There's nothing even in the local paper. Yes.
And another question, BitChute. What is, you said last time something about the law has changed and BitChute is British. Can you just explain what they are managing to do with BitChute? Because I know the Jews are after them, but.
It's this online. Now, I'm not sure whether that has actually been legislated yet. I think it has to pass the Lords or whatever they do. It's not yet passed as legislation, but they're threatening, you see, they're threatening to close them down if the BitChute channel, the BitChute site, which is based in England, doesn't abide by, doesn't do what all the other social media platforms are doing, i.e. censoring us. So I can't, my channel is still up there. Amazingly, I noticed that all the Discus commentary has been removed. That must have been disabled. Discus must have been pressured to remove its... Well, I don't know exactly. I don't know the exact details. But most videos that I get sent now, whether they are from American revisionists or people elsewhere, they're just immediately censored. So, nothing on YouTube, nothing on BitChute, no revision. There'll be other platforms. There's this Brighteon platform.
Which is small.
If you try
which
to
is small.
Put one of those links. Yes. Yes, yes.
You know,
but,
nothing is on this.
They've capitulated. They've capitulated, but I think that they've been threatened. They will have been threatened legally, probably, with regard to some channels, these high power anti-Semitic channels, shall we say.
I also
I see a story. BitChute, a hotbed of hate, and then again, PayPal terminates account of Epic, home to Proud Boys and Gab. So,
yeah,
in today's bannings, so to speak.
Yeah,
go ahead, Jan.
The thing is that it looks to me like the only thing that can really be working against BitChute is that they must be having legal attacks. There's got to be legal stuff happening behind the scenes, because sadly, BitChute themselves don't seem to have any sort of means of putting out notices to the public. So unlike Torba of Gab, who says things, BitChute is very silent. So I assume that they're being hit by legal stuff.
The geek guy, he's not really, he set it up, but he's not public relations. It's quite a simple company, if I remember correctly. And it's just him, basically.
His name is Ray Vahes, V-A-H-E-Y.
Yeah, and the thing is, you need to be able to have some kind of ability to talk. Otherwise, if things just happen behind the scenes, then we don't know what's happening and we don't know how they're being taken down. That is a concern for me. Silence is never good.
There was a statement. I did read a statement I've looked for it, but I can't find it again. There was a short statement saying that the removing content liable to be unlawful in various countries. I did see that. I'm not sure where it was. They've got a Gab account, BitChute. Maybe it was there, but I'm not sure.
Ah, okay. Man, because it's sad. The scale of BitChute is so enormous. They are so big. And Brighteon and everything else is like child's play compared to them. And if we lose BitChute, that'll be horrific. But
people need to use VPN. VPN, that should sort the problem.
God, we're going to all be working on torrents and secretly creating places to put our videos, because that looks like that's where we're going. But I hope that I assume that BitChute will put up a bit of a fight at least.
Yeah. I just got news now. I'm not sure whether this is true. Ursula Haverbeck, who was released 5th from Bielefeld prison, is 92 years old. She will be appearing in court again on November the 17th. Gosh, the same day as me. Isn't that interesting?
Okay.
In Berlin, facing new charges for thought crime.
Okay, that nails it. That one nails it for me, Alison. That shows that the system is still the same. Definitely. If she's getting new charges. And what are the charges exactly against you? And how many times have you been charged in the past?
It's a repetition of my first trial. I am charged with 3 counts of either sending or causing to be sent a message via the internet, grossly offensive message. And these are for 2 radio interviews I gave last year. One was on the John Friend reality report, is it? And the other is an interview I gave on the Graham Hart Show with Briser. And these, as I said, there's 240 initial papers in this new 3 counts of sending or causing to be sent under Section 127 of the Communications Act 2003. There's 240 pages, most of which is these transcripts of these radio interviews that I gave, and also the transcript of the police interview and various other bits and pieces, but it's 240 pages long. So, I say bring it on. You know, I'm absolutely not scared. I say at the end of the 2-hour interview with Briser, I say one mildly controversial thing about, you know, the Jews needing to stop feeding their kids these fake stories, because, you know, no wonder they turn into damaged individuals in the future, you know, if you grow up believing this stuff. That's about the most controversial thing that I say, but the most Orwellian is the questions in the police interview. So I look forward to some kind of outcome on Tuesday, whatever it will be. It might be another adjournment, but that can only go in my further. It can only go really in my favour, because the longer they drag it out, the more argument I have in saying, well, look, you're out of time. So we'll see. But once that's finished, I will be able to disclose the police interview. Most of it is their questions. I answered no comment. I only responded when I thought it was, you know, in my interests to do so. But quite often I just couldn't do anything else in this interview room rather than laugh at these questions that asked by these 2 policemen. I'll give you one example. It's, have you got proof that the gas chambers didn't exist? Have you got proof that the gas exist? That was the funniest one. You know? He got me there, didn't he? My goodness. So, So we'll see what happens on Tuesday.
That is hectic. So how many actual trials have you now had in total?
There's been my initial trial, which I appealed and I lost my appeal. And then I was also tried for breach of my suspended sentence order for publishing on my own website, from which I've been gagged from doing all this year. I've not been able to publish anything on my own website this year, Jan. So, hopefully
so you are officially
won't find yourself in that.
That is my
not allowed to publish. Yeah, yeah.
So what exactly does your gag order say? Does it say you're not allowed to publish anything, or does it say you're not allowed to publish about Jews or what?
Yeah, I'm not going to give you the exact words. It's just a general ban from the internet. And I can browse and I can come on your show and talk, because it's the indications are very, very vague, and they've not, and I've kept up my Facebook page, which is private, it's friends only, and a few other things, emails of course, but it's impossible. They can't gag people from the internet these days. Everybody needs the internet, it's part of life. So the conditions are too vague. I was found guilty of that. That's when they put me in prison a year ago in September. The same judge released me 3 days later. So he obviously, you know, 3 days he changed his mind and released me. And I eventually won that appeal. And that was in July. I eventually won my appeal for that in July. But 2 hours after being notified of my appeal victory, I was then charged with these 3 new Section 127 malicious communications offences. And that's the court, that's the case that will be on Tuesday. And then, of course, that ongoing case for my religiously aggravated harassment, that's, I'm under investigation. I've not been charged for that. That song about Tommy Robinson movement and Fagin, and I mock the Tommy Robinson movement. So I say bring that one on as well, you know. But the police have still got on my computers. I think I talked about this the last time. But yes, it's going to be an interesting few days to come. We'll see what transpires, and what transpires with Ursula, 92 years old, back in court on November the 17th, and on the same day. In England, I'll be back at my old haunt, Westminster Magistrates in London, at 10 a.m., 17th of November.
That is very sad about Ursula. Man, that is bad. And and now you too.
If people showed up, would they be able to get in there?
I think so, yes. Yes, I think so.
Do you think you might have any supporters if you care to disclose that?
Well,
show up?
I'm going to wait until there's news of the skeleton argument and see, because I don't want to give people say, oh, come and support me, and then suddenly there's an adjournment. They like to do this kind of thing piss everybody off. So we'll see over the next few days. I'll have a couple of people. But as I say, I can't publish on my website. I can say it here.
All right, well.
So others could do it. I can send around an email. But I will only do that once I've received news from my lawyers.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'm happy to publish it. Just publish it. That's fine.
Thank you, Alex. But,
yeah, well, I mean, that's absurd. Well, you know, I have a. If they can come in and seize your computers, can they also say, and you're not allowed to buy any more computers?
No.
I mean, are you serious?
Even when you face bankruptcy, the only thing that they're not allowed to take from you are the tools of your trade. But, you know, all these computers, because I live in a shared house, they took it, you know, loads of people's computers, and they still not given them back to me.
And presumably you have endless funds to go buy more from their point of view.
Well, you know, I had to buy myself a really cool little notebook, so somebody's lent me a computer. But,
that's good. And they're cheaper nowadays.
I can't publish.
It really is ridiculous.
I can't publish.
You can still buy a paper notebook and write more lyrics, I guess. So.
God, it's terrible what they're doing. It's unbelievable, you know. And all those kinds of things are among the things that are lying in my documents as well. Or at least they're trying to do those things to me, but it's not happened yet, but it could happen at any time. It is hectic what these bastards are up to, I must tell you.
Well, on that front, then, Allison, did you have anything more to say about the UK, Europe, or your case? If not, let's turn to Jan in South Africa. But
I think that's
you've got a hearing coming up, so...
Just to say, the COVID, they've got the army now in Liverpool offering tests for the entire population. And somebody filmed army trucks arriving at a secondary school the other day. So what's going on there? It's just these pieces, what do they call these tests?
I could say on that front, like in my county, they've just gone back to online learning. They claim there's another... are a big outbreak here, and a lot of the fear about Biden is that he is going to do some kind of national lockdown for, you know, 6-8 weeks or whatever, where I guess everybody has to wear a mask if they go out. So it'd be even worse than the level. I don't know. A lot of ifs, but so the army enforcing it in the UK. So
yes, we're under lockdown again for another until the 2nd of December. We're under lockdown.
Fantastic.
It's great for the economy. Boris is furious, apparently, because the government ordered this new lockdown on false predictions. You know, the predictions turned out, the graphs turned out to be incorrect. Boris is furious. Well, that's, you know. Well, thanks, Boris. Cheers.
Yeah,
what a buffoon. and just the other news, France is, I heard that he had a bit of a tiff with Justin Trudeau, but there was a terrorist attack in a Remembrance Day bomb attack at a Saudi cemetery. That was the only other interesting news that caught my eye. Several people have been wounded in a bomb attack at a Remembrance Day ceremony attended foreign diplomats in the Saudi city of Jeddah. The embassies of France, Greece, Italy, the UK and the US said an improvised explosive device blew up at a cemetery for non-Muslims on Wednesday morning. A joint statement strongly condemned the cowardly attack. So there's that.
Who do they think is behind it?
Minor injuries. Blamed on an Islamist terrorist, I think.
So they don't have specifics.
I think they're blamed. Yeah, they're blaming Islamic terrorists. And I read somewhere else, I think, that it was in retaliation to Macron's, you know, claim to insult the prophet. While on the other hand, he's jailing people who insult the chosen few. So, yes, it's, so that's pretty much all I had to say about
the world is insane.
We can go on to your stuff now.
The world is insane.
The world, isn't it? Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
What's
going on in South Africa, generally, or in your personal case?
Alex, I've got something that I think might be of interest to you folks. If you open the chat, I'm going to post three links quickly, and let me just put it in the chat so that you guys can see, because I think you'll find this interesting.
I'm looking now. Let's see.
Let me know if you can see the three.
Yeah, I see the links.
Okay.
Yes, I can see them. Yes.
So, Alex, if you look into those things, election fraud by Jews is nothing new. They were practicing it here in Southern Africa, and in those news stories, you'll see that the one story says Israeli company hacked the Zimbabwe elections. The other one says Zimbabwe elections. NICOV is an Israeli company that had offices in South Africa, and Mugabe, the communist dictator, paid the Israeli company $10 million US dollars to rig his elections in 2013. And then it says here that, you know, they used the diamond revenues to fund the rigging. The blacks, especially in Zimbabwe, have been rigging every election. It's possible that many of the elections in Southern Africa, in Angola and Mozambique and all that, were all rigged for the last 40 years. But the difference is that in 2013, the rigging of the election in Zimbabwe was actually exposed, amazingly enough, by the British. And a lot of the details came out in the open. And these Israelis were given control over the voter registration lists. And then Mugabe specifically paid them to rig his election using computers. So, you know, there it is in black and white, just to show you Israel and Jews have been practicing.
Yeah, I wonder if that software has made its way to the U.S. I have never seen it mentioned before, but that's a good article. Yeah, NICOV, NIKUV.
Absolutely, Alex.
Software.
And NICOV had offices here in South Africa. So these guys are rigging, playing games. And even in South Africa, Alex, I once worked with a black computer programmer. I've probably mentioned this. And he told me that even the elections in South Africa in 1994, that his brother was involved in it. And he said that there they were also rigging the elections. And, so election rigging is nothing new. It's been practiced a lot. It just seems that in the current U.S. election, it seems they've used multiple techniques, you know, including just inventing ballots and writing out ballots themselves and doing that, but also throwing in computer stuff. So yeah, Jews and computers rigging elections for you. It's not a conspiracy theory, it's a fact.
Yeah.
But yeah, in South Africa also, just a quick note on COVID, they were saying that for the first time, I don't know if it's the first time ever or the first time in 30 years or something, South Africa didn't have a flu season. So just like in the rest of the world where, you know, flu is COVID and COVID, it's the same thing. We've had our lockdowns and everything. We're at level one and they're going to, they're finally going to ease off on some of the level one restrictions. They had things like you couldn't buy liquor after 5 p.m. in the afternoon. And now you're going to be allowed to do that. And I think now travel is finally more or less open. They're going to allow people into the country, etc. But they're already also talking that COVID is getting worse again and all that. The fact of the matter is I only know one person in South Africa who had COVID. Only one person I know who's had COVID. Everyone else is fine. But the doctors have also been dishing out. I was talking to the chemist, the pharmacist, as you would say. I was talking to the local pharmacist, a white lady, and she was telling me that the doctors have been dishing out lots of vitamin D. So that is also why almost nobody's got COVID. None of the whites that I know. I only know one white person who got COVID, and he recovered quite easily.
Yeah, I only heard two people. Finally, I heard of two people who had it who I actually know. And one of them was cheerful and smiling and had recovered from it, and she's not exactly young. And the other, I've not seen her around, but I don't think she's noticeably more sick or anything. So that's as close as to home as it's got to me. But they have said there is more of an outbreak now, but, I mean, who really knows?
Absolutely. It's
day to day, I don't see any difference. Except yeah. They force you to wear masks in a lot of stores. But otherwise, yeah, that means nothing to me.
Here, masks have to be worn if you go into the public. It's a law. Though, during my legal...
Yeah, that's what they think Biden's going to do. That's what they're afraid Biden's going to do. That's what a crackdown would be, basically, you have to wear a mask. We have not had that in the U.S., maybe in New York City, but not really other places. It's just if you want to go into certain places, you have to wear a mask and be 6 feet apart. So that would be a big change for the U.S.
Yeah, here the social distancing is also a must. They specifically have laid it out in every business and so forth. But yeah, for the most part, it's much ado about nothing. And, you know, the real issue is what is the secret agenda? But yeah, Alex, you're always talking about Team White and Team Jew. Last Friday, when I went to go to the court for the first time for like the initial, your first visit to the court, which is normally where you ask for adjournments and time and all that sort of thing, I had my first chance to see Team Jew in action in reality. And Alex, Team Jew operated like a proper team. The way that it worked was, I've never been in a court in South Africa ever. I don't even know the court procedures. But I went there and I waited in the passage, which is where everybody is supposed to wait. And all of us were sitting there waiting and waiting and waiting. And there's supposed to be a roll call at some point in time. And as I was sitting, there was only one person next to me who was right next to the door of the court that I'm supposed to go into. And so I was right at the door, literally. And all of a sudden, out of the blue, a whole bunch of white people just storm past me, open the door, and they all go inside and they lock the door. And I'm thinking, that's kind of strange. And then I look through the glass window, and I see there's no magistrate there yet, But these people are there and they're sitting there. And I'm wondering to myself, could this be the Jews? And I see some men come in and out in pairs. And one of them was kind of glaring at me and I glared back at him. And I wondered, you know, could these be the Jews? And next thing is I see a guy come out with a yarmulke. And I'm like, yeah, that's the Jews. And I take a quicker, closer look and I see, ah, there's my accuser. And then I kind of wondered, you know, why are they sitting inside the courtroom? Because you're supposed to wait outside. Everybody's supposed to wait outside. Anyway, so I kind of start wondering if something's happening that I don't know about. Anyway, I carry on waiting, and after about an hour and a half or so, they eventually call me into another court. And it turns out that our court has been moved, and then they come and they get the Jews out of the court that we were supposed to be in, and we move into the other court. And I basically did the simple basic things that I was supposed to do, which was just to say, listen, I need to get an attorney and so forth, and can we adjourn this? And I didn't know it, but the Jews had brought with them the most expensive Jewish attorney in South Africa. And he's actually not an attorney. He's the next level up. I think, Alison, I'm not sure if an advocate in South Africa is the same as a barrister in Britain. I'm not sure. But anyway, it's the next level up. It's the guy who deals in high court stuff.
Counsel.
Counsel. Okay. Well,
a barrister is counsel, and a solicitor is a well, you see, Renouf calls her counsel an attorney, but you're saying in South Africa that's a solicitor.
Okay.
Anyway, it's details. It's not important. Not important.
Okay.
It's funny. We don't have any of those distinctions in America. They're just lawyers.
They
have specialties, but
I think your system.
We don't have grades
or
ranks. Lawyers.
Much simpler, Alex. Ours is a whole rank structure, obviously derived from the British.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's interesting to hear that. We definitely don't have that here, but it sounds like obviously a British thing. Yes.
So when
you call attorneys. What's the difference between an attorney?
Same. Attorney's just more pretentious. I mean, but yeah. Functionally, it doesn't have any different meaning.
I would agree with that in England as well.
No, but I mean, in your land, it actually has a technical meaning. Like here, the thing is, are they qualified to operate in this area? But I mean, any of them could be. They could go into real estate law or family law. But there's no barrister. There's none of that stuff. There's no rank, I guess.
Yes.
Yeah.
There's either you're a lawyer or you're not over here, and then it's a matter of what your specialty is.
So
anyway, just a side point for people, because we're doing a report from around the world, so it's sort of interesting to see these little differences. I think
exactly,
but it's not a big deal in terms of the actual case.
Except, yeah,
but the one there was one point in that I was going to if you don't have an attorney, one will be appointed for you. You may have even heard that on TV. So you can just say, oh, I don't have the money, and they will provide you with a lawyer. Is that how it is in Britain and in South Africa or not?
Yeah, that's the way it is in Britain. All my cases, because the show A Lobby went after me there and ruined my career. Therefore, you know, I don't have the finances to be able to pay for my own legal costs. It's because I'm accused. Yes, you've got the right.
I don't know what okay. How about, is that true in South Africa? Yeah. Or not,
Alex?
You just got to get your own. The court won't provide one.
Yes, the court can provide one, but people have said to me, "Stay away from it." Unlike Alison, who seems to have some decent representation, people here said to me, "Stay the hell away from it. It's absolutely useless." So I'm rather making my own plans, and in order for the Jews to get this very high-ranking advocate in, the technical thing that I discovered afterwards is that for you to get an advocate into a lower-level court, because also another difference between our courts and your courts is that the lower-level court is presided over by a magistrate and the higher-level courts are presided over by judges, whereas you seem to have judges in all your courts. But anyway, the way it works.
No, we have magistrates. We do have magistrates. Magistrates are like family courts, and their magistrate does have a technical meaning. I forget what it is though.
Some of them will have a law degree, like chief magistrates. They call them now district judges in the UK. But some will just be lay magistrates. They will be people in the community who've, you know, justice of the peace, that kind of thing.
Okay.
They will be appointed to the magistrates bench. And yes, that's the same in England. They will operate in the magistrates court, which is the first level. And then anything from the Crown Court to the High Court, the Supreme Court, that's all judges.
I think they would all be
lawyers in the U.S., but they have more or less rights compared to other judges. Is there's something there which I do not remember. Anyway, go ahead, Jeff.
Returning to my case, in order for the advocate to function in the magistrate's court, he has to actually come in by way of an attorney. An attorney has to give him the right to operate in the court. So anyway, when the magistrate came in, the magistrate was quite astounded by all the people in the court. And it was just, I was the only guy on my side. Everybody else was there for the Jews. And that included the Jewish Board of Deputies. The top people were there. The very top people were sitting in the court. And so the magistrate asked them who they were. And then he was told that, yes, you know, here are all these people and they represent the Jewish community. And then what the advocate did was, because the case is going to be postponed until the middle of March, he then moved to say that he really, really needs an interim protection order against his client, you know, because there's this, you know, this threat. And he went on and he had this huge, thick pile of documents, and all of it was articles I'd written on History Reviewed. And he basically had a list of things that I'd published, everything about Jews, and he'd said that this is from the 19th of October. 19th of October was when the cops came to me and gave me the first set of papers, the charges. And he was reading off all the titles of these things, you know, videos I'd done where I explained the basic problem between whites and Jews and this thing and that thing, less Jews in Europe. You know, a title where I say, like, excellent, less Jews in Europe now, and so on. And all he does is he reads off these titles and he indicates to the magistrate, you know, oh, you know, this man is not improving. He's actually getting worse. And look at these things. We need protection. And I did challenge him on that. I did say that, you know, there is no, that, you know, it's kind of business as usual on History Reviewed. There's nothing that's worse than it was. But anyway, bottom line is the magistrate gave an interim protection order, and I had to remove any video, any photograph, and any instance of her name from my website. I had 48 hours in which to do it, and when they issue the order, they also issue a warrant for your arrest. So if you don't do it within 48 hours, they can come and arrest you. So on the weekend, I cleaned it up and got rid of everything. They told me I must also remove it from the social media. I couldn't do it on Facebook because my Facebook account has already gone in the time since these court papers had been issued to me. My Facebook had already been shut down. I had a History Reviewed group on Facebook, and I discovered that the group itself, which had about 900 people on, that group has been disabled by Facebook. So anyway, so I did those things, and that's that. The actual trial starts in the middle of March, and then the other thing that happened was, before I walked out, the Jews then said, here is another, you know, this pile of thick documents that he'd been reading off that I need to sign for that. So I'm sitting with quite a pile, not quite as thick as Allison's stuff, but I'd say that this new pile is a good 100 and more pages of stuff that I signed for. So I'm sitting now with maybe 150, close to 200 pages of stuff that I've had to sign for. The other interesting thing was that the Jewish complainant, let's say, that when she originally laid the charges against me, her original attorney in her documents was a black guy, which actually deviated from the norm. They use a firm called Levitt, Jewish firm called Levitt, and Levitt does all the stuff for the Board of Deputies. And by the way, Levitt also represents Julius Malema, the black commie who's constantly calling for genocide and attacking whites. And Malema at the moment is up on trial for assaulting an Afrikaans guy, an Afrikaans policeman at some event. And so Malema's up for assault. And Levitt, the firm Levitt, represents this top commie. And, you know, Levitt is representing basically the enemy of the whites. And Levitt is also representing the Jewish Board of Deputies. But anyway, it was therefore a surprise that the Levitt firm pitched up at my first appearance, because the Jewish woman's original attorney was a black guy, actually. And then on top of it, an advocate pitching up. And that advocate is, I think he's also the private advocate for Malema again. So they came in with heavyweights, Alex. They came in with the head of the Jewish Board of Deputies. It's the deputy head who was the complainant. And so, yeah, you know, they came in with heavyweights. And there were guys who appeared to be multiple attorneys there over and above the advocate. So yeah, they didn't muck around.
What do you make of that, Allison?
Very similar procedure to my own case. I also had the same experience, that first instance, and there's all these lawyers. They had a QC, who's a Queen's Counsel. That's even more than a barrister. They get a kind of special award from the Queen, and they can charge more for having this QC after their name, and a whole host of other legal figures and jurists. And there were about 10 of them, and they kept coming in and out in the same way as happened with, the same procedure, that it was a private prosecution brought by this Jewish organization, the Campaign Against Anti-Semitism. It was originally a private prosecution by this Jewish organization. The Crown just did in prosecuting me. They were pressured, the Crown was pressured by this organization until they finally took over. The Crown did finally take over my case, and the rest is history. I was convicted, found guilty, etc., jailed for singing songs it's not the same charges as Jan. It's that I don't think we still have a crimen injura, but that would go under our libel laws, which is civil court, and any kind of criminal harassment charges. It's that these people, you know, the quote unquote victim of Jan's terrible thought crimes was not contacted in any way. It's the same with the victims of my thought crimes. These victims were never contacted. They themselves sought out this content, my songs, your articles, etc., and then took offense and try to get us with lawfare. It's this very, very similar, and also all this money being spent, and they have lawyers working for them pro bono. But there is one remark, is that, you know, even Jewish lawyers, they'll get fed up in the end. They'll get fed up in the end of being asked to do pro bono work, even when it's on behalf of their own community, so to speak. So we'll see. The campaign against anti-Semitism had two court cases last week. One was a tribunal at the Pharmacists Association. One guy, he'd offended them, but the Crown had refused in this case to take him to court. So they went after his profession, and they lost that case. The guy just clap on the wrist. He wasn't, you know, disbarred from practicing in his pharmacy. And the one libel case that they ruled that it was okay. The judge ruled that it was okay for the Campaign Against Anti-Semitism director to call one of his fellow tribesmen, a man called Tony Greenstein, who's one of these leftist progressive types, anti-Israel, pro-BDS. It's okay for this Jew, Falter, to call this other Jew, Greenstein, a notorious anti-Semite. So that judgment as well. I mean, it's just this. Anybody with half a brain looks at that and they well, hang on. It's okay for, you know, a one Jew to call a fellow Jew a notorious anti-Semite. Then the word really has all meaning. But they won that. But Greenstein has quite a lot of support from the leftist Labour types here. So whether he will go further, he can crowdfund his legal expenses. And he's got also, you know, Jew lawyers, progressive Jew lawyers, who are BDS and anti-Zionists, so to speak. Although they are, of course, all anti-Zionist Zionists. You know, when it comes to the crunch, they're all Zionists by default, pretty much. So, That's the campaign against anti-Semitism. But the way that they are going after you with the legislation that's available to them in South Africa is very reminiscent of the way that they're going after me in Britain with the legislation that is available to them. Neither of our countries have, you know, the draconian race. That's true. We do have these race hate speech laws, but they're not quite as draconian as they are in other places, for example, in Macron, you know, Hervé and his writings are very similar to yours, I would say. Yeah, in jail for the next 6 months or so, and probably with facing more charges, as is Ursula Haverbeck. And that's the way this is how they do it. And of course, the aim is to tie up in legal concrete, set in legal concrete. You know, you cannot. Group, you cannot criticize their stories, their myths, their foundation myths. Of course, once things have been set in legal concrete, it's very difficult to undo them. There might be one advantage of this Renouf case, but you know, like I say, there was no trial, so I cannot possibly work as an example of case law in Germany. It's just not going to happen. And these two ladies, Mrs. Wilford and Mrs. Haverbeck, are both back on trial in Germany. So it's different. We're lucky to still have be under this common law. And I think we can use each other's cases in common law countries. In my High Court appeal, my barrister used a case that was from Canada, I think, and possibly another one from abroad as well, from another Commonwealth country. We can use these precedents in the higher courts, not at the magistrates level, I wouldn't have thought, but at the higher courts, these precedents from other common law countries can be used in our defence.
Wow, that is interesting. And yes, there are similarities. Even in the documents that they served on me the first time, they also mentioned Electronic Communications Act in South Africa, and it made me think of, you know, what happened to you. But the situation's exactly the same. they say that, you know, oh, this affects them, but they actually came to look. And another thing that happened at the end of the session was that they were very happy, and when they left, I immediately thought to myself, I'm sure they're going to want to crow about this. And true as nuts, in less than, it was probably We left just before 12 o'clock. Within 3 to 3.5 hours, they had already put out a story on the mass media, and that story spread a lot. Unlike the first story, which didn't really spread, the second one, they put it out in the mass media on public pages, not just limited to subscribers. And when I checked a few days later, it had spread to lots and lots of places. It's definitely spreading big time. And they were saying, well, the courts came to show, you know, that this kind of stuff won't be tolerated, sort of thing. And they were busy giving their quotes and so forth about how this shows, you know, that this kind of stuff, you know, will be taken seriously and so on. Of course, everything that has been published so far, the two stories that have been published so far, the first one, a journalist did contact me, and I did give the journalist a written statement, and not one word of that went out into the mass media on the first occasion. On the second occasion, they just quickly left a message on my website. I only spotted it the next day, and then I emailed the journalist back and said, you know, are you still interested in anything I have to say? Never heard a word again. So they are very, very quick to put out their side of the story. And yes, the person accused gets no chance whatsoever. And even the advocate, exactly. And even the advocate had mentioned, to the magistrate, oh, you know, there could well be criminal activity as well, you know. And I'm like, but hold on, I didn't say this, but afterwards I thought to myself, but hold on, legally a man is innocent until proven guilty. So how can you say criminal activity when there's no actual proof of anything? But these were the moves they made.
Yeah, you could complain about that possibly. Tell your counsel what happened, and there's possibility you could complain and put in a complaint about their counsel stating such things in open court. I mean, it's defamation pretty much, isn't it? You know, if anyway, that's exactly the same with me as well. At my high court appeal, the campaign against anti-Semitism already reported within 20 minutes. You know, they had somebody there and they put something out on their website within 20 minutes. It's always the same. I've never been asked for right to replies on the occasion, but I've never really bothered. I've just ignored any kind of request from journalists to make a comment, twist it or ignore you. You lost, like you say, so I just, well, why would I speak with the mainstream media? Perhaps in some ways it could be useful. Perhaps in some ways it could be useful. I think, you know, perhaps somebody like Germar Rudolph would be, you know, as far as revisionism goes, you know, the kind of person that might be fielded one day on a mainstream platform. But in France, you see, you do have the right to reply to any kind of published communication, published article about you. You do have a right to reply. I think you could probably point here as well. But there's a law in France. You have the right to reply. I had the right to reply to the stuff that Rushton put out about me on, and that I'd sabotaged their conference, and that I was an enemy informant. I was given the right to reply to that, and I was able to publish the following week a response to Rushton in the French nationalist newspaper Rivarol. But the British media is just so disgusting.
So in France. Does the newspaper have to publish your reply?
I think so, yes.
That's nice. See, in South Africa, we might have a softer form of it. I was under the impression that it was a law, but now I'm not so sure, because in many instances, newspapers actually used to publish and say, we did try to contact this person to get a comment, but they were not available. In my cases, they didn't even publish that. But it is an area that I do want to explore a bit, because I had heard somewhere that there is something that they should actually be publishing one's comments or showing that they did make a genuine effort to try and communicate with you. But
there's a press, independent, supposedly independent press complaints procedure, but I've never had any look there. I've complained twice, you know, for absolute blatant excesses of defamation and smears, calling me a convicted racist, which is just simple, you know. I was convicted for causing offense. And other ones where they claimed that I was using my Gab account to promote my PayPal. That resulted in me losing my PayPal account. It resulted also in me being suspended from selling a bit of music. But my complaints have never gone anywhere. They've always been, they've made these excuses. It was an opinion and all this stuff. What do you use your PayPal account for? Asked this independent complaints committee. As if that's any of their damn business.
Well, Alison, if something I'd like to add is that in South Africa we've got a lot of these sort of business organizations that are like the press ombudsman, the banking ombudsman. So in theory, if you got a problem with banking, you go to the ombudsman to let the ombudsman assist you. And there is something similar with the press. But I found in the days when I like tried to look into banking stuff, when you got a complaint, because you can't, there's nobody in government to complain to unless you suspect it's a crime. And I must tell you, we've got all these ombudsman-type organizations in South Africa where basically the capitalists regulate themselves and they create their own organization to regulate their own industry. And I found them to be totally useless, totally fucking useless. And so even when I saw this stuff about the press, I just ignored it because somebody else was trying to find information for me and said, no, you must go to the press ombudsman. And I thought, oh, no, I'm going to be a total waste of time. When the capitalists are regulating themselves, I can tell you it doesn't amount to a hill of beans. There's a lot of stuff where I'm starting to think what we need is government regulation. This might freak you out, Alex. But I got to tell you, there are some places where I wish we had government able to actually regulate something. Because when I look at even simple things in America, you at least get a little bit more done when you've got a government organization. I can tell you, when you got the capitalists regulating themselves, it doesn't amount to a hill of fucking beans, truly.
That's a great expression. It doesn't amount to a hill of beans. I like that expression. It's the first time I've heard it. Is that from South Africa? Where's that
come from? It could be a South Africanism.
No, they say that in the US. They say that in the US too.
Good. Yeah.
But
well, I got a response to my freedom of information from the FBI, and they blew it off and said it didn't. I didn't go by the terms of service or something. So I filed a second one. Just to update that. Don't know what it means, if they're personally directed or they're, I don't know what, they hardly have any terms of service anyway, other than declaring that you're an American citizen asking for your own file or someone else's, as the case may be. But since it's my own, I was, that would be, but who knows, maybe it's a formal deal and I didn't do it quite right, but it's a very basic procedure online. So I don't know. Try it again.
That will be interesting. If you do get anything, it'll be interesting to see what they're saying about you.
Well, it seemed to me that they were saying, like, if you can be specific about what you want, do that. So I And I don't know if they use that as a pretext to screw up the terms of service. So this time I just said, I want my file. You know, boom. Didn't mention any other names or any particulars. So I don't know.
It will be interesting to see what they say, Alex. That's excellent. Looking forward to hearing the feedback on that. Yeah. Yeah. So basically, the magistrate said that I need to get moving on replies to the affidavits. Otherwise, the court date is the 16th of March next year.
Exciting.
Something to look forward to.
It's not like you who spent, I haven't got even a 10th or a 20th of the experience you have in courts, Alison. But no doubt it's coming. And
maybe it'll get thrown out. Maybe it'll get thrown out. You never know. There's always always hope.
No, this can't get thrown out. This one's been accepted.
Okay, yes, it's true.
The harassment one has been accepted.
The prosecution could stop. They could stop their prosecution and cancel the case. That is, you know, that's, we can always hope for that. It's unlikely that you expect, the worst.
Alison,
the worst.
Alison, I think I got a better chance of being hit on the head by a falling meteorite. then they will give up on the prosecution. In fact, I must tell you, I was talking to two attorneys yesterday, and the one guy was saying to me, and by the way, after I got these court orders, I published on my website and I said that on this website, I'm going to carry on publishing on this website unless I get court orders. I've got to get court orders, have to tell me to stop publishing. That's the only time that I'm going to stop. And I will comply with whatever the court order tells me to, unless, God forbid, it's a blanket court order and I'm not allowed to publish on my website at all.
That would be a breach of human rights. That would be a breach of your human rights, and it would be you would be able to appeal.
That would be huge. But if they were to issue like a court order and say you're not allowed to write about the Jewish Board of Deputies, or you're not allowed to write about Jewish people or something, that's the only time I will comply. Otherwise, I'm carrying on publishing until they get court orders for me. And then I was mentioning, just let me finish. Then I was mentioning this to two attorneys I was talking to yesterday. And the one guy said to me that it's actually possible in South Africa. It's a very expensive process, but he said to me it's actually possible. They can go to the court and they can have a thing thrust down upon me where they can stop me immediately without any kind of trial or whatever. It's a very expensive process. He gave the details of it. He said to me, they can do this. So we were discussing the fact that they can ramp things up. And we were having a good discussion about what had happened to me in the past, what they are trying to do, etc. And the bottom line of all this hocus pocus around, it's harassment and it's crimen injuria and it's you and me and all that. The bottom line is really censorship, because the actual demand that is in their documents is that I must stop publishing on my website. My website must be taken down. All my social media accounts must be closed. My phones must be taken away from me, and all my IT equipment must be taken away from me. In other words, they want a blanket shutdown of me in total, along with the police seizing all my stuff, to no doubt see if they can find other potential crimes. But that is what this is really about. It's not about harassment. It's really about shutting down Jan Lamprecht, especially History Reviewed. That's what it's really about. That's
right.
That's the angle here.
And that's what they've done with Arthur Topham. I think I also mentioned his trial in Vancouver. It was a similar breach trial for the, he supposedly broken his, bail conditions while he, you know, he's already been convicted. He has had a trial, and that's what they've done to him. They've made him take down his website, and he's not allowed to mention people's names. And I'm the same. I've got a restraining order. These people want me restrained, but they came to me. I'd never heard of these people before the summons dropped through my letterbox. I'd never even heard the man's name before. So
same as me.
Same, and the same as Arthur, and obviously the same as all the other thought criminals. Well, the ones who are, you know, prosecuted and persecuted, because some aren't, as we noted earlier.
Well, in the case of Arthur Topham, you say that the Canadian courts actually ordered him to shut down his website.
I think so. Yes, yes.
Permanently.
I'm not sure whether it's kind of some kind of probation order for two years, and this will be probably prolonged. He is next Friday, the 20th. He's in court in Vancouver again, and we will know because that is a court appearance, and he will be sentenced. He's not going to get sent to prison. The judge has already told him that, but he's, you know, looking at some other kind of ban from Arthur. And the judge was, you know, and the prosecution, they realized that it's not going to stop other people from sharing Arthur's work, but they don't mind that, just so long as it's not Arthur himself. You know, they want to ruin you, and they want to demoralize you. He's a writer. Arthur has been writing for years. This website has existed for years. They want to demoralize you by depriving you of your rights to publish. Rights, you know, your ability to publish online, and for people to choose to read what they want to read. It's and it's just so silly and petty and vindictive and malicious. And the more that they go down this route, the more people see and think this can't be right. I mean, listen to the way that we've chatted tonight. Civil talk, yes, okay, we're critical, but goodness me, I mean, isn't that what all those wars were about?
Yeah.
Protecting freedoms.
Yeah, it's funny. I'm looking at we've descended into a new dark age where these things were already settled in our white civilization, and now I have to read about Chinese sending a submarine into the Marianas Trench, and incredible footage shows Chinese engineers building a colossal 2,600 foot. On two cliff faces over a remote river. They're moving ahead, and we are debating that already been settled. That we have no right to criticize Jews. We're going right down back into the mud if we allow these people to continue to control us. You listening should understand that. It is Jews. There's nothing else. It's Jews.
Absolutely.
Doing this. There's no other teamwork. And all the other things that appear to be independent are not. They are sustained by Jewish money and organizations. And media subsidy. Okay, but the Jews are the ones ringleading all of this. We've given three examples two examples today. I didn't give any of my own, but from three continents showing what's actually going on in the world, not a hint of which you'll ever get in any mass medium.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can talk to reporters. They won't use anything you say, though, except the fact that you talk to them.
Yeah.
Which will be used against you.
We are the living proof of the need for an alternate media, or for a real media, if you could call it that. And you know, exactly like you say, Alex, most of the important stuff doesn't get mentioned in the media at all. You can go and look in the South African media, all the big crimes, the murders, the things, you don't hear it that way. We hear it through our social media. We hear it from other people. They don't, all the important things that used to be published 25, 30 years ago in South Africa, all of that stuff you don't see in the mass media. Mass media is just a silly little thing, you know, where you look at the Kardashians and other idiotic little stories, and somebody slept with a ghost, and all kinds of junk that you just see here. And everything that's real and important is not in the media. And two things, Alex, before I forget. Two things. The thing that I've been thinking about a lot in recent days that makes me think a lot about what you've been saying, Alex. You said so long ago, there's no way out except through the Jews. And that is truer than ever. There is no way out. You've got to go through the Jews. You can't skirt around it. You can't be a libertarian or a conservative. You've got to face the Jews. That's the one thing. And the other thing is when I was talking to the two attorneys, they were talking about the hate speech laws that are coming. And these hate speech laws, I actually did a show with Dr. Peter Hammond in 2017. He's a South African Christian. And he was mentioning these hate speech laws that are coming. And he was present at a sort of a public event where government was consulting with people. And he actually asked one of the black ministers, he said to him, you know, why are you pushing this draconian hate speech legislation? And this black guy said that actually even the ruling party of South Africa does not actually want to push through this draconian hate speech stuff. The actual people who are pushing it through is the South African Board of Jewish Deputies and a gay organization. They are the actual authors of this hate speech legislation. Well, this hate speech legislation, people have written about it and said how nasty it is, etc. And then it's sort of hung around but not gone into law yet. Anyway, when I was talking to the two attorneys yesterday, they said to me that if you actually look at this hate speech legislation, which is getting ready, it looks like it's going to start going to Parliament. They said to me that it's so hectic, it's so insane, that literally anybody speaking to anybody else, you'll be able to find yourself in court. Okay, go ahead.
We mentioned that last time in Scotland, didn't we, about private conversations? And then just yesterday, I saw that is now the law in Norway. So if you say something anti-queer or anti-trans in Norway in a private conversation, that's grounds for a lawsuit now. It's illegal.
Wow, that's insane. So you can't. So you can sit at the dinner table and talk, and then find yourself. Good God, I guess so.
I mean, that's going to affect every family on the planet, isn't it? Because you've always got, you know, disputes, family disputes, and
not just some, family, you know,
someone's
friends,
girlfriend or whatever, or revenge. Yeah, friends and family. Yeah.
Yeah,
or so. Workers, colleagues, that already happens. But yeah, any hint or any sign of racism, that's it. You will be socially ostracized, excommunicated from polite society. That's it. Anything in the so-called liberal democratic West.
Yeah, and we can only live on their terms. So pretty much we're being enslaved. And now, you know, Biden would certainly be worse than Trump in pushing the anti-First and anti-Second Amendment stuff. Here, of course. So the U.S. is about the only place where you can sort of have some kind of legal freedom. So if they get any of that passed, then boom, everything I've ever done would be in the same situation as anything in the U.K. or the continent, or I guess South Africa. So,
you know, that's the First Amendment is basically the last frontier. And that's
pretty
what they
much,
want.
I mean,
that's what they want.
Yeah, basically everything I've ever written. Yeah, that's it. I mean, they've tried to run the international stuff and destroy it. But if they get their buddy, and I see a story in the Daily Mail that Prince Harry, that redheaded one who came over with a big friend of Jill Biden, who was kind of the chief strategist and organizer behind Old Demented Joe. So there you go.
Yeah. No surprise there.
Yeah. So they will be up to no good. So maybe Trump can find a way out. If so, I will truly be impressed. If he can come up with a way to claim the victory that I believe he won, I will be very impressed. Though I'm not a Trump supporter, but But yeah, he would be better in some ways, certainly, than Biden, no doubt about it. But yeah, difficult times, not good stuff overall.
But
surveying
maybe,
the world as we are, but
maybe Alex, it's what's necessary that white people everywhere. Everywhere, whether you're in Norway or America, you got to realize that something is massively, massively wrong. You cast a vote, your vote's not counted. I think it's the communists who said it's not the number of votes that count, but who counts the votes. And, you know, if you
Stalin said that, and Kennedy said that was Stalin. I don't care who you vote for. It matters is who counts the votes. Peaceful change or peaceful reform impossible, make violent change inevitable. John F. Kennedy or one of his speechwriters said that.
Absolutely.
And you pretty much summed it up. And I'm not going to stop what I do, and I know you two aren't either, so screw them. Down with them, up with us. And you all listening should join us in whatever form that takes, because and we want to live in a world that we create that's held at the lowest denominator we can produce, which is a lot higher than any multicultural world. Believe that.
Yes.
Very true, Alex.
Yes, indeed.
Very
hear,
true.
Hear.
Totally, totally true. Multiculture, oh man. You don't want to go there.
So Jan, why don't you thank everybody for listening to us today? And we've gone on probably about long enough. I've got to head out myself pretty quick. Probably also a few maybe. But so give us a concluding
statement. Thanks, guys.
Thanks to Allison for appearing on here and telling us what's going on in her case and on the continent of Europe. And thanks to Jan telling us about South Africa. And I try to tell you that the election is being stolen in the U.S. is my main message. And which one is this? Is this about number 8 we're on for 2020?
This could be number 7, I think.
Seven. Okay. But anyway, that's pretty much the state of things.
Thank you.
Give a concluding statement, Jan, then that'll be good enough.
Okay, thanks very much, Alex. Well, let's see what happens with the election. That to me is the big, big story. And I truly hope Trump can pull it off. I've been losing a lot of faith, being very worried. And thanks very much for being with us, Alex and Allison. We'll be back in the near future, the very near future. So thank you very much.
Thanks to people listening. We appreciate it. And sharing the link, too. You can join mypieville.net. Is pretty much social media that's open to people who want to criticize Jews or anything else. You can spread stuff on there. So, and anything people want to publish that pertains to all this and any legal thing where you're being suppressed, as Allison and Jana are, send it to me and I'll post it.
Yeah. Thanks so much, guys. Very interesting chat, as always.
These are Alex Linder's websites, www.alexlinder.com, pieville.net, that's his Twitter type of website, www.vnnforum.com, you'll find a ton of information on there. And then his news website, which is www.kirksvilletoday.com. These are my websites, historyreview.com, africancrisis.info, and white-shop.biz. This is my attempt to try and do some Jew-free trading and experimenting with the next level of stuff. So, thank you very much for listening. We'll be chatting again soon. Take care of yourselves.